Are you an entrepreneur looking for more free time, more money, or just looking for that success blueprint? The Proven Entrepreneur is the podcast for you. Host Don Williams and his guests share real success stories from proven entrepreneurs. Here's your host, Don Williams.
Hey, Don Williams here with today's episode of The Proven Entrepreneur. I have a super entrepreneur, very young guy, had great success very early on, Kamard Johnson. Thank you for joining us today.
Yes, sir, Don. Thank you so much for having me. I'm super grateful to be here.
Yeah. So, okay, I'm going to take you all the way back to little Kamard. So age 5, up to 18, maybe. Okay. So the household where you were raised, okay, and whether that was with mom and dad or mom or dad or grandparent, however that worked, doesn't matter. Was there an adult in the house that was an entrepreneur that gave you an entrepreneurial example as a young child?
Yeah. So I'll give you the whole entire framework if that's okay with you.
Sure.
So single parent household, there was my grandmother, my mother, my brother, and myself. And we lived in, you know, an urban area, not the greatest, but not the worst. And so my mother worked a traditional job like so many Americans do. And so definitely didn't get it from her. Much more conservative. She's, you know, I want to know if I go to work and I make X amount of hours, I'm going to make X amount of dollars, right? But my brother, on the other hand, was very entrepreneurial as long as I can remember. I mean, he's tried some of everything. And so I can definitely point to him for sure in my early going, subconsciously being an example and something that I looked at for sure and that I think probably have definitely played a part in my ability to become an entrepreneur for sure.
That's awesome. So when I first started this show, and we've now done about 100 episodes, I thought, well, every entrepreneur had an entrepreneurial example, but it's only about 1 in 3, 1 in 4. Most entrepreneurs are just kind of wired a little differently. And then an opportunity presented itself and they walked through the door. And that's kind of the difference. So, okay, thanks for sharing. Now tell me, we're still with little Kamard, okay? And your first either job where you got paid, okay, or, and maybe your first job was entrepreneurial. I've talked with people who they did a lemonade stand and that was the first place they made money. But the first place you made money, whether it was a job or entrepreneurial, would you share that with us today?
Yeah. So I'll give you the 3 stages for me. The first portion was in school, was on the basketball team. And I started to do homework for a lot of my teammates, which then turned into doing homework for a lot of the football team. And so, you know, it's like anything in school, you know, things spread pretty fast. And so that was the first opportunity that I had where I actually earned wages for myself. And then the second stage for me was selling Pokemon cards and selling jerseys and things like that that my mom had purchased for me that, you know, I'd either grown out of and wasn't interested in anymore, or, you know, just saw an opportunity before I even knew what the word arbitrage meant, to where obviously I knew I had no cost in it at all. And then I could sell it to another young child or kid for, you know, obviously more than what I had in it. And then the third phase for me, my first official real job was at TJ Maxx, where I was in the back working in the stock room, which then I got promoted to working at the front desk or checking you out as a cashier, and eventually moved up into actually a part-time manager there. So yeah, that was the 3 stages for me that kind of escalated the earning wages roller coaster for me.
That's awesome. And sounds like your mother and grandmother instilled you with a strong work ethic. And, you know, one easy way to beat your competition is just outwork them.
Absolutely.
It helps outsmart them, but you can beat them if you just outwork them. And so that's awesome. Okay. So we're going to leave young Kamard in history. Okay. And so at 18, you joined the Marine Corps, you backpacked across Europe, you took a year off and lived on the beach. What'd you do?
Yeah. So at 18, Kamar graduates high school. At the time, while in high school, I was working at H.H. Gregg. So I was selling, I escalated from cashiers, which was glorified customer service merchandisers, what they called me. And then I asked and proposed to the sales manager at the time, because I saw those guys and I figured they made money way more than what we did just ringing up people. And he agreed to allow me to give the sales floor a try. And so went out there, sold electronics first. And then again, I didn't like how that worked, because if you came in, Don, and you wanted to get a TV, but you had your wife with you and she also wanted to get a dishwasher, then what had to happen is I would get the commission for the TV sale, but a colleague of mine's would get the sale for the dishwasher. And I'm like, why do we do things that way? And no one had ever at that point, up until that point at least, kind of explored that with the manager. And so I did. And so I'm like, if I educate myself on the appliance piece of it, and I'm also obviously educated on the electronics piece of it, would you guys be comfortable if I cross-sold? And so they did. And I don't know if they thought about what the repercussions would be from the other salespeople on the appliances side, or maybe they just didn't care because it just was about, you know, sales. Either way, they gave me the opportunity, Don, and I took it. And so now when you came in, I could sell you whatever you wanted, your wife, whatever she wanted. And so that made a great opportunity for me to bring in some decent money as a young 18, 17, even 16 is when I really originally got over there, kid. And so I liked it. And then at the time, individual walked in and he was really dressedly sharp and didn't ever allude on to what he did. But at the end of the transaction of selling him a dishwasher for his wife for their anniversary, he was like, man, you know, nothing against this place, but I feel like you got more talent than what you're being able to actually utilize here. And so would you be okay if I gave your name to a recruiter where I work? And I'm like, yeah, but like, what do you do though? And he was very vague, never really told me anything to go off of him. So I thought nothing of it, Don, truthfully. Fast forward about 3 or 4 months later, recruiter reaches out to me. I agree to go in and meet with her. This place happened to be Northwestern Mutual. So I'm like, oh, okay, this is like finance. Obviously, I'm still in high school. I don't really know anything about it for real, but I'm intrigued. You know, it seems like a money making opportunity. And so, of course, that was something that was a motivator for me because I wanted to contribute and I was contributing to the expenses in the household. Right. So I thought that that was one of the ways I've always been able to show my mother how much I appreciate everything that she's done and sacrificed for me. So I go and the first couple conversations with the lady as we're maybe 10, 15 minutes into it, you know, she's like, yeah, so, you know, we think you'll make a good intern here. And I'm like, intern? Interns don't make money. And I'm like, no, there must have been some miscommunication. I apologize, but I'm here to make money. Like, this is a job opportunity, right? And she's like, well, you think you can cut it? And I'm like, yeah, absolutely. And she's like, well, you don't even know what we do. And I'm like, well, explain it. And then I learn it and then I can do it. And so fast forward after about 7 interviews, Don, with different people within the organization, they finally ended up getting me a meeting with the managing partner. And I knew it was going well. It was only supposed to be a 10-minute meeting. I look up, we're over an hour. So, you know, people, as you rise through the ranks, they don't tend to waste time. And so for him to spend an hour with me, I figured I was doing all right. So they ended up offering me the job. It was a Friday. And I told him that I need to take the weekend to think it over, which blew him away because he's like, do you understand the opportunity that I'm offering you? What do you mean you have to think about it? And the reason was, Don, is not to be arrogant or anything, but I did have other alternatives. And so H.H. Gregg was willing to move me to Schaumburg, Illinois to be a store manager. So I was considering that. I'm young, moving to another place, big city, right? I had another financial opportunity with Mass Mutual. And then, of course, I had this opportunity. And so I had to think it over. And I ultimately decided to go with them. And it by far was one of the greatest things I did because I learned a crap ton, obviously, about finance, managing money, and just a lot of high level things that one coming from my background and circumstance probably would not have gained, especially due to the fact that I forewent going to college. And also, I made some great relationships, man, with some really dope individuals that definitely have helped aid into my progression and development in my life. And so, yeah, that was 18-year-old Kamard, man, right out of high school, going and working for a top financial institution with no college experience and no financial experience.
And were you on the insurance or on the broker side?
So started on the insurance side and then quickly grew to doing the broker side as well. And yeah, it was a great time for me for sure.
Awesome. I love that. And, you know, and you don't know this about me, but we're brothers of different mothers. You know, at 18, I went to college for about a minute, maybe two minutes, but I had a sales job, which not real sure. I had a buddy who'd made quite a bit of money and I was like, oh, I want to go do that. And so I took the sales job. Well, within 8 months, I was the top salesman in the country. And, you know, selling is like the foundational entrepreneurial skill. You know, doesn't matter what your product, service, or experience is. Somebody's got to buy it. And sometimes they need a little help to buy it. And so we need somebody who can communicate the offer in a appealing, non-threatening manner where people say yes. So yeah, you are my brother from another mother for sure. Okay. So tell me your current business. Okay. You're in the commercial tire business. Did you go from Northwestern Mutual to the commercial tire business?
No. So I'll tell you, the transition was after Northwestern Mutual, my brother and I launched this idea to start a car dealership together. And so I parted ways, went to do that with him. And I'll tell you, financially, it definitely wasn't a success just because it was too little for too much, right? Like it was a lot of headache for very little payoff for us. And so after about 3 years, it was just like, man, we got to get out of this. And so I'll tell you, the last car that we sold, which allowed us to unwind the business, we celebrated it as if it was the first car sold, you know, would create such excitement for most. So yeah, that was the transition there. And then I literally left that. My brother continues to start something else as he always has done, like I said, from as early as I can remember. And I went to work at CarMax because there was a manager there who was my manager at H.H. Gregg. And so it was just, you know, a lot of synergy there and it made sense for me. And I went in there and did well, just like I did at Northwestern Mutual. And it was easy for me. You know, I came in, I'd sell you a car, I'll sell your buddy a car, and I'll sell one other person a car and then I go home for the day. And so that is how it worked for me up until the point where my mother started to really press me on joining forces with my brother again in the tire company that he had started with 7 used tires in his shed of his backyard in 2016. Fast forward to 2018, he had grown it to 317,000 and had very limited overhead because it was just one other employee other than himself. And then he had a warehouse that was only about 1200, maybe 1500 bucks per month. And so his model was very simplistic in the sense that it was just cash and carry, pick up and take with. And so guys would come with their pickup truck, take 8 tires, 1 tire, and, you know, that'd be that. And so, yeah, that was the transition for me. So it had gotten to a point to fill it out, right? You know, of course, you want to honor your mother's wishes. And so I'm like, well, let me see what he got going on. So I would go up to the warehouse that he had and just take my CarMax shirt off, put on a regular shirt, and just listen at the lingo, the conversations, and look to educate myself yet again about the product. And January 1st, 2019, I made the decision to join him 100% in full capacity. And we haven't looked back since.
That's awesome. I love that. And I love the family aspect. Love that. Did your best to honor your mother and you and your brother in business. So, the name of your company is GTT Commercial Tires.
Yes, sir.
And your chain, you have 2 locations. So you got 2 links to the chain.
Yeah. With a third that's on the way, we're breaking ground on a new construction project in 2 weeks, actually, which is going to be in the Hampton Roads area, which is about 2 hours from Richmond, Virginia.
Congratulations. I want to read, I'm going to put my glasses on. I have old eyes, but I want to read a testimonial off of your webpage that I think our listeners will want to hear. So I'm passing through Richmond at 10:30 p.m. and blow 1 tire on my trailer. And I'm guessing that's a tractor trailer. And I call GTT and they jumped at the opportunity to help me at 10:30 p.m. I called 3 places and got no answer from any of them. But they get out, do the road call for me. I ended up needing 3 tires, which they had. Can you imagine that? And they hooked me up in under an hour for under $1,000. These are expensive tires. What place do you know doing that? 3 tires in the road service this time of night for under $1,000 on a holiday weekend at that, with Monday being Memorial Day. These guys were a real godsend for me tonight as I head back to Florida. Thanks a million, GTT, for the great service, timely work, and awesome price. And so as I was going through your website, you know this, I don't know. I wrote this book titled Romancing Your Customer about 4 years ago, which deals with delivering such exceptional experiences that your customers, not that they're fans, but that they literally love doing business with you and your company. And I want to compliment you because it seems like you're walking. A lot of people talk that talk. Customer, it's all about the customer all the time. A lot of people talk that talk. very few companies actually walk that walk, and they're always wildly successful because it is all about the customer all the time.
100%. Thank you for pulling that up. That's pretty funny. But yeah, I mean, our customers are everything. We understand, and really not just understand, but we magnify what it really means. Like, without raving customers, all we have is a building, tires, a logo, and a name. And obviously none of that makes money without raving customers. And so, yeah, it's very important to us to understand that, acknowledge that, and do things that make them feel that, right? Because like you said, it's one thing to usher the lip service around it. Like, it's a great statement to say, but you know, as you mentioned, a lot of people don't truly embody it in their process and their service and ultimately in who gets the fair share of the deal. And for us, we understand that if we take care of those guys, put those guys in opportunities to save time, put those guys in opportunities to make more money, and all of that is in addition to us having a pretty superior process to the status quo of the industry, us having better prices than majority of the other options out there, then why would they not do business here? And that has really been the win in our sales in terms of how we've grown. We haven't spent a dollar on advertising, Don, not 1 cent up until this point.
That's amazing for the type of industry that you're in. But if you turn every customer into a walking, talking advertisement, you may not need any traditional advertising, actually. Okay, so I want you to think back across your career and even the stuff that you did as Little Camard. Do you have a hard lesson, something that happened when it happened, it's like, ugh, that hurt. Okay. But now maybe today you look back at it and you're like, oh, there was really a blessing in disguise. But at that moment, it was a hard event, a hard lesson in your entrepreneurial journey.
Yeah, it happens for me often because I'm very like present and cognizant of how everything is connected. And so before I answer the question, I always tell people to live in the moment and the experience, meaning as things happen, even when they're not your desired result and outcome, really look to examine what good lies in it. And sometimes that won't happen immediately. Sometimes that may take a day. Sometimes it may take a week. Sometimes it may take a month. Sometimes it may take a year to be able to find that connection point. But I am a true believer that it all flows together. One example that I can tell you is, you know, my brother, trust me 100%, right? He possessed so much humility around the direction that I wanted to go and stepping aside out of the driver's seat and getting into the passenger seat. And so aggressive young Camard, the little brother, I say, hey, man, let's open up a location in Fredericksburg, which is about an hour away from Richmond. This is literally, Don, 2 months into me just joining the company officially in January of 2019. So I'm still learning about the education around the different tires and all of the nuances with our model that I'm trying to craft out. And here I am talking about opening up another location, which we did. And so the challenge there was, it was an epic failure because A, we didn't really even know what we were hiring for yet. Meaning, like, there wasn't designated positions. There wasn't designated roles and responsibilities for those positions. There wasn't a system in place for those people to play a part in the system. And so it ended up being a catastrophe, right? I mean, like, literally we're getting calls from customers, and this is still in, which we're still doing, but this is in the earlier stages of us attempting to establish a brand. And we're getting calls from customers saying, hey man, I'm here at your Fredericksburg location and your doors are shut. What do you mean the doors are shut? Like, Don's supposed to be there. And then I call Don and you're like, oh yeah, man, I had to, you know, do this or do that. And I'm like, well, that's fine. But why didn't you let me know so that we could have made proper arrangements to still keep the store going? And so it was a nightmare, Don, because I found myself questioning myself and how good I was. And, you know, was it the right decision for my brother to trust me? And, you know, were the strategies that I wanted to deploy accurate and potent enough for being able to penetrate new markets? And ultimately, all of that stuff was just because we moved too fast. And that was the core lesson there. You know, it wasn't about any of those other things having any truth to them, which they could have, but that wasn't what it was about. And so we were able to take a step back. And obviously financially, you know, we lost a little bit of money there, but we didn't lose the opportunity to continue to move forward to improve upon something that he had clearly etched out as successful and something that we could expound upon. And so, yeah, that would be that example, man. It was wild.
I love that. And I forget which business guru quotes this, but it's something to the lines, if you want to go fast, go slow.
Yeah.
You know, and there's some real truth to that. And the other thing I really loved in what you said, and I too am one of those people who believe that things are connected if you just get enough distance, you know, and you can see that. And so latest book, Gratitude, Stories from Our Hearts. And so I'm a big believer in everybody can be grateful if you win the lottery, if you buy a new car, if the girl just says yes to a date, whatever. There's something really positive. But the best practitioners of gratitude can find a way to be grateful for their challenges. And that takes a little more higher level of gratitude, but also delivers a higher level of life. And so I love how you shared that. Okay, so we talked about a hard lesson. Let's talk about a warp speed moment. So things are going pretty good. You make a hire, you change a strategy, you execute a plan, and all of a sudden, you know, things take off. Do you have one of those you can share with us?
Yeah, I'll tie right into the hard lesson story. So again, learned all of that, which then led to not derailing us from wanting to continue to scale through multiple locations. But what it did is made me focus on the things that aren't sexy in business. Creating standard operating procedures, creating systems for people to be able to plug into and become a part of a machine and not necessarily have to carry the load, right? Creating distinctive roles and responsibilities for different positions based on what I felt we could execute at a better clip than any of the other competitors, if you will, right? And so all of that assisted with creating a framework, which now, fast forward to 2022, when we opened up our second store in January of this year, we've already done over $500,000 at that location. And that is because of all of the things that was learned, not necessarily through just the Fredericksburg scenario with the debacle there, but what it then, connection of the dots, led me to start to think about things that needed to have time, energy, activity, and effort put into it, which now has positioned us to be able to take off like a plane on the runway, which now gives me even more confidence and conviction around wherever I put these things, I'm going to be able to have similar, if not better, showings right out of the gate due to the fact that we now feel like we really have an established blueprint and formula for our recipe of success.
I love that. Okay, so, you know, we always ask the old guys this, what's a nugget of wisdom, something that you hold in your personal treasure chest of entrepreneurial learnings? And so what's a nugget you'd share with us today?
I know one thing that's super important for me in business, entrepreneurially, as well as personally in my life, is really being very cognizant of your focus and your thoughts, because it is a real thing that I am a living testament of. What you focus on matters, right? And to me, it's like that shapes your emotions, and how you feel emotionally usually dictates how you perform. And so it's very important to make sure that the things you're focusing on are the positive things. Yeah, negative things are going to happen for all of us in different shapes, right? That's just how it works. But that doesn't mean that you have to give over all of your attention to those things when they happen. You know, take a couple minutes, you deal with it, you get through it, you grieve or whatever the case may be, but you can't hold on to it too long because it is a true derailment to progress. And so for me, I am very, like, how I do things, it's like, as a result of doing this, am I going to be better, the same, or worse? And that helps me to speed through things. So it's like, am I going to be better if I sit here and think about the nasty thing that Don said to me today in the grocery store?
Don,
like,
doesn't say nasty things to people in the grocery store.
Yeah, no, just an example, right? You know? Yeah. And then it's like, quickly, because those are simple. To me, that's a simple tactic to deploy, right? Because you can answer that for yourself. You don't need to talk to your father. You don't need a mentor. Like, you can answer that. It's like, no, I'm not going to be better for that. And so when you can make that decision, it's like, okay, cool. I need to move on from this. And so I think it helps either A, speed up the moving on from it, or B, you know, after you practice it a while, like anything else, you get to a point where those things don't even penetrate you at all. So it would definitely be, you know, being very cognizant of what you focus on and what your thoughts are.
I love that. So, you know, as a man thinketh, so shall he go. And also so true that if you're looking to elevate be certain that you're spending time with people that are elevated, because we're, you know, many of us are the product of the five closest people that we associate with. And so very important to do that. Okay, so I'm going to put you in a time machine. In your case, it's not going back very far. And that's a testament to you. I'm going to put you in a time machine, I'm going to take you back, and you're going to get about 60 seconds to tell 20-year-old Kamard something that you think he should know that would have made things easier, faster, better in the next coming years. So into the time machine you go. Here's 20-year-old Kamard. What do you have to say to him?
I would tell 20-year-old Kamard to drop the chip on his shoulder and be more open to others' instructions, stories, and suggestions for guidance. Because I know for sure there are probably a lot of things I can point to in my upbringing that obviously created the chip or contributed to the creation of the chip, I should say. And you get so reliant on things like that, Don, that, you know, it becomes your superpower, if you will. It becomes the thing that you value the most because you see it as the thing that protects you. And at the same time, certain scenarios of such can, as much as it protects you, it can actually hurt you, because it's almost like the closed fist analogy, right? Like if you don't let anything out, right, that might accomplish the one goal that you have of holding on to whatever it is that you are holding on to. But on the other hand, you don't let anything in either. And so ultimately, you remain in one specific spot. And that is the epitome of stagnation. And that doesn't work for me. And so I know as far as I've come, as fast as it seems that I have come, I do know, or at least I believe without a shadow of a doubt, that I could be much further ahead had Kamard at 20 years old, been more receptive to the assistance that some people attempted to offer me.
Love that. That's great wisdom. So thank you so much. So how can we support you? What can we do for you, Kamard?
Well, I'll tell you, for me, the support is by virtue allowing and assisting my support to others. And so because that is literally something near and dear to my brother and I. And so we've actually created an education platform that we want to roll out to anyone who is interested in owning, well, starting and scaling and owning their own tire store. And so you can go to Kamard Johnson, that's spelled K-A-M-A-R-D, Johnson, JOHNSON.com, to get registered, because we will be rolling this out. And the reason that we're doing this, I've gotten questions from a lot of people like, man, you're going to create competition for yourself. But the demand in the trucking industry, Don, is growing at an enormous clip. And I don't foresee it slowing down anytime soon. When you just look at 72% of the goods being transported on a truck, and that's a commercial vehicle of some sort, you look at the rise of e-commerce. And so as a result, I mean, even looking at what the administration is doing to help further the quality of life, as well as the attraction to getting into trucking. And so for us, we understand that those truckers can't do what they do without tires. And so it's not enough of us to provide the supply of the demand that's there. And so I don't look at it as creating competition. I look at it as being able to give people the tools to be successful, and a lot of the ingredients that have made our stores successful that could do that in different parts of the region, different parts of the country that, you know, maybe we touch, maybe we don't. But even if we do, we don't do it tomorrow, that potentially somebody else can take this information and get it done in a quicker time frame because that's their natural area. And so that would be one way to support, just because that's going to allow us to support the opportunities of ambition for others who may be interested in this particular field. And from there, you know, we're always doing things in our local community. And so I would just, you know, have your listeners be encouraged to do things in their local communities for those that are not as fortunate, that they don't see an avenue that the person or persons can do something for them. Because it's real easy for me to do something for you, Don. You have a great platform. And then, you know, think about how I can leverage that up for you for something for me on the back end from you. But I'm talking about doing things for people that you can identify with that can't necessarily bring any value to your life. To me, that is really where character shows. And so I would just, you know, use your platform to encourage others to do these type of things that mean something to them, more so mean something to those people who need help in their local areas, whether that's children, whether that's women, or whether that's the homeless.
Yeah, love that. And you don't know this about me, but my mission is helping others who help others. I love helping others, but I really get excited if I'm helping other people help other people because the ripples are larger and reach more people. So, Kamard, thank you so very much. I'm grateful that you joined us today and shared a little bit from your story. I reserve the right to recall the witness and call you back and talk on other subjects in greater depth. I'm grateful.
I would be delighted. Thank you so much again for having me on your show today. And I was super grateful to be here, Don. Thank you so much.
That's today's episode of The Proven Entrepreneur Show. See you next time. Bye now.
That's today's episode of The Proven Entrepreneur. Go to ProvenEntrepreneurShow.com, subscribe to the show, leave an iTunes review, and you could win a $25,000 VIP day in Dallas with Don himself. And get Don's easier and faster selling with video course free. Please join Don on the next episode of The Proven Entrepreneur.